Thanks for listening to another episode of How Good Is Rugby League?
We're stoked to be back for season 5, and this year we're coming back bigger and better than ever.
That's right, Michael. You've been busy over the off-season. We're now on Instagram, X, YouTube, and TikTok. And of course, you can listen to us on all podcasting platforms.
Now it's time for another episode of How Good Is Rugby League? Hello and welcome to another edition of How Good Is Rugby League? My name is Michael Corbin, and joining me, as he does every Tuesday, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, how you going?
Michael, how good is a win?
Yeah.
It just makes a win and a long weekend. I'd love them every week.
Yeah, I copped a loss on a Thursday and then 4 extra days of rugby league. So
four not extra feeling, days not of feeling replays.
As, yeah, not feeling as
sprightly.
You know. But it was a good weekend of football, had some great. Some great wins, some great crowds. Record attendances.
Yeah.
Over the long weekend, it was pretty awesome to see.
Daytime football does things.
Yeah.
People want to be part of it. It feels different. It hits different. You make a day of it. You get out there. You enjoy it. You soak it up. I've discussed this so many times. Bring it back. Make it a thing. A couple of Sydney clubs. Pick a big stadium and do it every week. I honestly would be there. I don't care who it is. I'd even turn up and watch Manly play the Roosters or something like that.
You might be one of the only ones who will travel to that game.
That's it. And my random South Sky hat.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, honestly, the only thing I really learned about this weekend, Mike, is that it doesn't matter who is playing for Penrith. They are just incredible.
Yeah. For me, it is Penrith. Then daylight, then everyone else. Yep. They are so far ahead of everyone else in the competition. This is a measuring stick for the Roosters this weekend, and they failed. And it's Penrith, and until they prove otherwise, they're going to win this competition. So let's segue straight into it. How good the Penrith Panthers.
Yeah.
Just what they're doing week in, week out. Insane.
We've spoken so many times about the players they've lost, and you know, you would just expect that it's not going to work. Cleary's out for this amount of time with his hamstring. The Roosters, they've had a couple of big wins against Souths and the Broncos to start the year. They're looking good in attack, better than last year. But Penrith just bring them back down to earth. An absolute reality check for the stars of the Roosters. And it's, you know, I think as you flagged previously, Luai's got a great record. Without Cleary.
9-0 now without Cleary. And, it's not been the same half that's coming every year, because it seems that whatever halfback they decide, and they've done this really well, Penrith, is they've always got a backup half ready because they know that their star player is going to be in Origin every year.
Yeah.
Brad Schneider did it this time. But it's been Matt Burton. It's been Dane Laurie. It's been Sean O'Sullivan. It's been Jack Cogger. And whoever has to step in and fill that void has done it. Seamlessly. It's like whoever puts on that jersey knows their role perfectly. And it's they play what Penrith do better than anyone else is they never deviate from their game plan.
Mm.
But one other thing is they are just they're fitter, faster, stronger, and more powerful than you.
Yeah. And that's mental strength as well, right? Yeah. They just want it more. They're just hungry. But that game plan, you talk about it, it's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so basic. What do they do, Mike?
All they do is they go to their edges, they turn it back in. And they're moving your middle forwards around, making them work constantly, constantly testing you. And then once you're worn down, they hit their edges and they go wide and they score. And it doesn't matter how long it takes for that game plan to work, they will stick to it.
Yeah.
It could take half an hour. It could take 55 minutes. It could take 70 minutes.
It's just belief. It's self-belief, isn't it? It's relentless. It's persistent. It's awesome to watch. We're in this incredible era where that just, you know, incredible. Like, they're one of the teams that is going to be talked about forever. They're the Dragons of the modern era. They're the Parramatta, the 80s Parramatta reincarnated. They're just, there's something about them. And, it, you know, if you're a Panthers fan, you just want to be at every game and just watch them. And if you're not a Panthers fan, you're thinking, how do I get my team to be like that?
Exactly. They like, and this is a problem. Everyone's like, oh, the Panthers ruined the competition.
Yeah.
Which is terrible to say, right? What we should be saying is, how can teams get to Panthers level?
Yeah.
Is what we should be saying. Because no matter who puts on that jersey, they fill their role perfectly. It's Queenslandish.
Yeah.
And they, if they make the grand final this year, it's half a decade of being in the grand final. Mm.
You know, that like, there are some pretty experienced coaches in the game at the moment. Some of the greats, Bellamy and Bennett, obviously, at the front of mind. But, you know, other people that really understand the game, Trent Robinson, Ricky Stewart has coached for a long time. He's played for a long time as well. These are brains. These are people in the know. Kevin Walters won a lot of premierships, played a lot of time as an assistant coach, and no one has cracked the code with, you know, mind you, there's Brisbane got close last year in the grand final, and Bellamy's had some success outside of grand final, in the grand final in 2020 and in some club games, but no one has been able to knock them off their perch.
Bellamy also had at the time, the greatest player of all time,
yeah,
who carved them up.
Yeah, right? and they nearly lost.
They almost blew it. Yeah, Ivan Cleary deserves all the credit in the world and should be talked about in those great coaches for what he's done for this team.
Yeah, and it's incredible. Like, the game plan is so simple that the teams just don't know how to handle the suffocation. And they've suffocated team. They did it with the Roosters last week. They did it to Souths in 2021. They just hold and manage the ball better and make you pay.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've never shown, even last year in the grand final, there was never panic.
No.
They found a way out of it, and they just knew that if they got the ball, they could score the tries and come back. Incredible.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. So that's how good, but an honourable mention to the Tigers, second win of the year. First time since round 3, 2020. So 4 years ago that they have more wins than losses. And feel so happy for Benji.
Yeah.
And just
he's
this
team. So much flack, unnecessary flack. We've spoken about the Tigers last week and you know, the rebuild that's going on. And obviously anything that's not wooden spoon for them would be a success this year. But it's great to see. The thing I'm loving is you can see, you get a hint of like the style of football they're going to play. It's 2005 all over again. It's back to the future. I love Justin Olam's second try yesterday. Just really crafty work with the ball, no block plays, just
long pass, wrap around.
And they just created this huge overlap out of nowhere. And Parramatta were looking like, how did that happen? And, you know, obviously, Mike, we watch a lot of football. And so after a while, you can kind of tell teams run similar plays all the time. And all teams almost defend the same because they anticipate what the other team's going to do.
Yeah.
But this is a breath of fresh air.
It is.
And it's great football, and it just looks so simple and perfect. And there's no decoy. There were no decoy runners.
Yeah.
Just creating simple overlaps. Use your numbers and just use the ball in a different way. How good's that?
Yeah, and it's led by their number one, their number nine, and their number six in Lachie Galvin.
Yeah.
Who third game of first grade.
And doesn't he look like he's been there a while?
Been there. Looks, he's got that number six jersey locked up for a long time. I expect Joram Luai comes in next year and wears that number seven jersey. But, yeah, this team's got a bright future, in my mind, under Benji, and all signs are looking good. And, you know, if they became a full-time training team instead of a part-time training team like the media has labeled them, they could be even better.
Yeah.
And that's sarcasm.
Oh, it goes to show what the media knows.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how bad?
Yeah, Mike.
Not the first time we'll do this year.
I hate the fact we do this. Yeah. I genuinely hate the fact we do this.
It's the bunker, it's the referees, it's Graham Annesley, and it's whoever controls the whole refereeing system and runs the refereeing system.
Who's the puppet master?
Needs to be fixed because the ruling of the Jared Ruia Hargraves obstruction on the weekend that led to the Joey Manu try. Everyone everyone who watched the game, except for the person in the bunker, thought it was a try.
Yeah.
Even after seeing the replays, thought it was a try. And yet the bunker ruled it black and white, which unfortunately they have been told to do. But then the day after, not even in his Monday or Tuesday briefing that he does, the day after.
Good Friday briefing.
Yeah. Graham Attersley thought that it was appropriate to get ahead of this one. Mm. Came out and said, wrong call. Because he needed to show discretion.
Does that help?
No, it doesn't help at all. It helps no one. No one gets any satisfaction out of it. It actually makes it worse, to be honest. And there's just the rest don't know what they're doing on some of these calls because they've been told two different things.
Yeah.
Week in, week out. It's contradictory constantly.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate – it just annoys me so much, okay? So two of the big name refs are Ashley Klein and Jared Sutton. They have two very different styles of refereeing, right? One of them referees and the other one is in the bunker, right? And then the next day, the opposite. And it's like two completely different interpretations from the bunker. Now, the bunker was brought in to bring in some consistency. And so video referees had all the same angles provided to them by the television networks and they could see everything from every angle and they could slow it down to the same speed and didn't have to matter what stadium you were at and what cameras they had. And we're getting this now where apparently, despite all this, we're still getting inconsistencies. And, you know, maybe it's the point, and I'll do it, Mike. I'll happily volunteer for this. Someone needs to sit in the bunker for all 8 games and just watch them from start to finish.
I would happily be paid to do that
because I do that at home, and the angles I see, I know they're getting it wrong. They have absolutely got no idea some of the time what they're doing. I
completely agree.
And I just don't understand. Are they watching too many angles? Because sometimes they're just overthinking this.
And sometimes they just blatant, like the Kyle Leroy try.
Yeah.
That was a knock on. They completely missed it.
But hang on. Isn't the ruling now that we review every try?
Yeah.
What did they review? What did they look at?
Yeah, they were looking for something else.
What?
They were probably looking for an obstruction earlier on and they forgot to look at the key point, which is putting the ball on the ground with your hand.
Well, who does that help?
No one.
It's exasperating.
They're looking too hard at the lead up and they're not focusing on what's at the finished product. They're trying to nitpick the lead up, which is the problem.
That, you know, Mike, they're nitpicking so much now, and you would feel this too, that when you watch a game, you can almost sense a six again coming. You can feel it.
Yeah.
You think a team is due for one.
Yeah.
Or there's just a reason. I don't know what it is. It's the crowd. It's the momentum. It's like the second tackle. The teams just put some pressure on. The other team's coming out of their own end. And suddenly...
Penalty.
Six again. Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Get out of it.
I completely agree.
Let me watch it and be my own bunker in peace.
Okay. We'll leave them for now.
Okay.
Because we'll definitely hit them again later in the season.
Mm.
Another how bad...
Mm.
And we've kind of been reluctant to talk about this team as a how good.
Yes.
It's the Cowboys.
Mm.
Now, they started the season versing the Dolphins in round one. And then they just beat the Knights in a pretty poor performance by 1 point. And then they beat the Dragons.
Yep.
Dragons. Each of those games, though, they conceded an average of 24 to 25 points.
Yep.
And then this week, in the pouring rain, without Payne Haas and Reece Walsh, they conceded 38 points to the Brisbane Broncos. And their attack, as it currently sits, is second worst in the competition.
Yep.
That is a concern.
Huge concern.
That is a big concern.
Just huge lapses in concentration. And, for as long as you're winning, it's absolutely fine, but... They have them and the Dragons, second worst points against. Souths are unfortunately the worst, but they both conceded 100 points. The Cowboys' only talent here is that they can just outscore in most situations.
Yeah, well, they're relying on outscoring teams, but they've outscored the bad teams.
Yeah.
Are they going to outscore the good teams?
But like the scoreline, round one, 43-18, they beat the Dolphins. Then they beat Newcastle 21-20. Then they beat St. George 46-24. And then, you know, they lost on the weekend 38-12.
Yeah. The defense is a big concern for me. It's a real big concern for me.
Yeah.
And it's something to watch. They've had an easy schedule. When it starts getting tougher or you lose players to Origin, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to this team? Now they're 3-1, and starting 3-1 is not easy. To be fair, I'm pretty sure there's them and the Penrith Panthers who have done it.
Yeah. Now the next five for them, they've got the Titans
and the Sharks. Sorry,
they've got the Titans in Townsville.
Tough matchup there.
Yeah, yeah. Then they've got the Eels and Sharks both away, and then they've got Penrith, but that's in Townsville again, and then they got the Dolphins again. Now, if I know Wayne Bennett, he's going to be fired up for that after what they did to them in round one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, it's, you know, the only positive from them out of the weekend is Tom Dearden.
That tackle was insane. That is as close as I've ever seen to, and obviously the moment isn't as big.
Yeah.
But it is the closest thing you'll ever see to Scott Sattler.
Yeah.
Obviously, now, Scott Sattler was grand final, saving the game. But this, like, if you put them side by side, what a tackle to chase down Selwyn Cobbo like that. Just the effort and the willingness to want to get there was amazing.
Yeah. Now, Cobbo ran 100 meters, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you remember your geometry.
Dearden ran further.
Dearden ran, like, right angle triangle hypotenuse stuff.
The
like,
hypotenuse. It was like, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. it. That's
Pythagoras
it.
Theorem?
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah, it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, who said we're not smart? So what is that, 150 meters he ran?
Yeah, something close to it.
It was just an incredible commitment.
Yeah.
And all that for a 38-12 scoreline, the poor yeah, guy.
Yeah, I know. Let's hope that his team can hopefully back him up in efforts like that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen there. I think they're going to have a bit of a rough patch.
Yeah, I think so. Won't be this week, but it'll come after.
Hmm. You never know.
I think I might know.
You know.
Against the Titans? I think I might know. How'd you go in tipping last week? Because I did atrociously.
I got 2.
Like, I did better.
Do you know what really annoys me, Mike, is that some of the things where I thought it could happen, I had such a bad start to tipping that I didn't actually go through with them, right? So I thought that the Dragons could win.
Yeah.
I think I said it last week on the pod.
Yeah.
I tipped Manly because I was none out of 4 before that, right? Or none out of 3. I was like, well, I can't lose that one. And then the Tigers. I'm pretty sure we gave them a chance last week on the show.
I tipped the Tigers. Yeah. I think it's the one I got up on. I told you there's 2 locks this weekend.
Yeah.
It was Dolphins over the Titans, and it was Warriors over the Knights.
Yeah.
Everything else is up in the air.
Yeah.
And all those up in the airs, I got wrong except for the Tigers.
Yeah. So I'd made some good progress, and it all came undone. I'm back down to 13th.
Nice.
In this competition, and really just struggling.
Yeah.
Absolutely struggling.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, let's get into round 4. Let's round 5. Let's leave it behind us.
Round 5. Storm hosts the Broncos on Thursday night. Always a big game, this one.
Yeah.
Munster back. Hughes back. Welch back. Wishart to the bench. Pezet drops to the reserves, and Chris Lewis is 18th man. Kane Bradley drops out, and for the Broncos, one change with Ben Takura named to make his NRL debut off the bench after being 18th man. He comes in for Xavier Willison.
So, Ben Takura, a lot of hype about this kid.
Mm.
6'8".
Yeah, wow.
Absolute giant of a human. I think he's the tallest player in the NRL.
Yep.
Excited to see how he goes.
I think ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. But Melbourne in Melbourne.
Mm.
I know the Broncos broke the hoodoo last year. By beating Melbourne after a huge drought against them, but no Payne Haas, no Reece Walsh still. Even despite how good Carrigan and Reynolds were last week, I'm tipping Melbourne with Munster back, Hughes back, home crowd, they'll get up.
Yeah. Bulldogs Roosters early game on Friday night. So Addo Carr's concussed. Blake Wilson comes into the starting side. Jacob Preston and Kurt Morin are also out. So Curran joins the starting pack and Harrison Edwards comes onto the bench along with Cal Toga. And for the Roosters, Lindsay Collins returns after missing the Panthers game. Terrell May goes to the bench and Egan Butcher to the reserves. Angus Crichton has been named to start in the back row with Tupanua moving to the bench. Mike, you're nodding on this one. Do you agree with the changes?
Yeah, I think Satili's defense has been questionable. Also doesn't promote the ball when the ball gets spread. So I'm happy to see Angus come into that edge spot. I'm going to say it now, and he's injured, so it can't happen yet. But Sanders 15th to play six with Sam Walker.
Yeah.
I think this Keary-Walker combination just hasn't worked yet.
No.
We've given it too many chances. The attack doesn't look as good when it's those two together compared to what I saw with Sandon and Sam.
What are they going to do with him, Mike?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we've discussed this for a couple of years.
Yeah. I think it's time to pull the pin. Mm. And it's a really hard decision to make because how many three-time premiership winning halves are there in the NRL?
Two.
Two others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
That's it.
But I just can't. For me, that's the move that needs to be made. Terrell May, amazing. He was awesome against the Panthers. A lot of people missed tackles. He made 38 tackles, didn't miss one.
Yeah.
Against the Panthers pack.
Free.
He had Nat Butcher, I think, made 65 and didn't. Most tackles ever made by a Rooster not named Jake Friend. So, good signs there. But, yeah, I'm going to tip the Roosters for Bulldogs. Their attack was a bit disappointing for me, especially in that last 15 to 20 minutes when they were on South Sydney's line and they just couldn't come up with any sort of creativism.
Their defense is much better.
Their defense is great.
I think the only points they conceded during that period where they were down a man was Morin. The penalty goal. Now, last year, Latrell ran riot in a similar situation. So, there are some positive signs for them. Their defense is probably better, and the attack will come.
Yeah, well, at the moment, they're the second worst attacking team in the comp behind the Titans.
Yeah.
Who are averaging 6 points a game. So, like, something needs to happen fast for the Bulldogs in terms of attack. And whether that is – I still can't believe they haven't got – Stephen Crichton needs to touch the ball more. He had 3 line break assists last week and he touched the ball 10 times.
Yeah. Let's
get him the ball more.
Thank God he didn't last week. He nearly took an intercept last week, Mike. In the same kind of Cody Walker pass, and I was just like
Nightmares.
Yeah. Knights Dragons, surprisingly, is the later game. Friday night at McDonald's Jones Stadium. Hastings returns to the lineup for the first time since round 2, replacing Gamble in the halves. Gagai is in, and Leo Thompson's back from suspension. Jaden Brayley starts at hooker after being eased back over the past fortnight. For the Dragons, Michael Molo replaces Hamesele on the bench. Tommy Eisenhuth is named to start at lock but could revert back to the bench. And Christian Tuipulotu is named in the reserves and continued his push for an NRL spot with 4 tries in reserve grade last week. Big news today is that Dragons have released Lomax at the end of the year.
It's not even that big news because everyone kind of knew it was happening. But
yeah, but
big
press release. They didn't do this with Ben Hunt, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Big press release. Zach Lomax told he can go look for another club. Now, they've also said it came out during the week that they would happily accept a player swap for Zach Lomax for him to move immediately. The name thrown around was Josh Schuster.
Yeah, or I also heard Ryan Madison.
Okay, yep. Interesting. Look, in terms of this game, I have no idea how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
Knights have not been great. Dragons, very inconsistent. Good 1 week, bad the next. I flagged the Knights halves conundrum a couple weeks ago. We've already got another new pairing because it obviously hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Hastings back in. Cogger at 6. I think Cogger's more of a 7. Will it work? I'm going to tip the Knights in this one because they're home.
Yeah.
And I think that Kalen Ponga is the best player on the field. And that's why I'm going to tip the Knights. But their forward pack needs to step up big time.
Yeah. But it is 13th against 15th here. Yeah. Wild. Okay. Jeez. Saturday afternoon, Souths host the Warriors at 3 p.m. Alex Johnson, Mike, he's out with a hamstring injury. He's also trialist this year.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't think the Ken Irvine record's being smashed this year. So
how
there
many
goes
is he,
my
how many is he off?
There goes my prediction. Is it 20?
Okay. Yeah, maybe not. Given how you're playing, probably not.
No. Isaac Thompson, and with, you know, Jack Wyden hogging the ball.
He scored twice.
He scored twice, exactly. Isaac Thompson gets the call up. Shaq Mitchell's out after failing an HIA, so Sean Kepi returns to the bench. Dean Hawkins will make his third straight appearance in the number seven with Lachie Ilias in the reserves. For the Warriors, CNK is named for the first time in 2024. RTS moves back to center for his 200th. Tamari Martin comes in to replace the injured Luke Metcalf. Chanel Harris-Tavita listed in the wider reserves. Neil Correa starts in the second row in place of Kurt Capewell, and Tom Ale and Freddie Lussick are the new additions to the bench.
Yeah, tough loss for Luke Metcalf, who's suffered a lot of injuries in his career, just needed a shot. Seemed like he'd really locked up that number six jersey for the Warriors, and now it's probably going to be out till late in the season. Might be tough for him to get that jersey back. Amazing to see Andrew Webster stick with CNK. I thought he would. But just to see it on paper, put him at fullback, Roger back to the centers, shows how much faith he has in Charge to be that number one. And you still have Roger popping up wherever you need him to, because he was awesome at fullback last week.
Yeah. But he, and he, Webster actually like addressed it as well and said, like, RTS is not coming to him and saying, I want to be playing fullback. RTS is saying to him, I want to be playing.
Exactly.
And that's just great attitude and great team mindset.
This team is – the culture of that team is forming to a club that's going to be formidable in the next few years, I think. And it could be – it could even be this year.
Yeah.
I'm tipping the Warriors in this because they've looked like the better team.
Yeah. Warriors next five. Souths, Manly in New Zealand, Dragons, Titans in New Zealand, Newcastle again.
A five for five for me.
Thanks. Okay, Saturday at 5:30, Manly hosting Penrith. This game at Brookie. Seabold, unchanged team. DCE will become the club's all-time appearance holder, surpassing Cliff Lyons with his 310th game for Manly. Matt Lodge has returned to team training and is expected to be available to play again in coming weeks following an ACL. And for Penrith, Fisher Harris returns from injury and will start in the front row alongside Moses Leota. Maverick Geyer makes way for Moses, and Brad Schneider will go again in the number seven after a strong debut last week. Jeez, you forget he was on debut.
Yeah. So
not going to talk about Manly.
Taruva were great.
Yeah, but they're the unspoken at the moment, aren't they?
Who?
Manly.
Yeah. 2-0 start is very Seabold. 0-2 to follow is also very Seabold. I want to see where this team sits after this week. They could come out and have a really good showing against Penrith. I don't think they'll win, regardless of how good that showing is. But if they come out and show me some fight, I'll be a little bit intrigued. But it's more what happens come like what where they sit come round 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And then after that, because, yeah, I don't quite understand what their rotations are as well. But Ben Trbojevic started the game really well, played the first 50 minutes, then game got into, you know, tight quarters and he came off, didn't come back on. Interesting to me. Tom Trbojevic had one of the worst games I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
Which, actually, I have seen him do this a couple times, though. He has these games in him. Yeah, I know. Penrith, I'm not tipping it's Penrith. So, Manly's a wait and see.
Final game of the round of the Super Saturday is the Dolphins and the Tigers. Good game, this one. Wayne against Benji. So Max Plath is out for two games. So Ray Stone moves into the starting side and Kenny Bromwich joins the bench. Sean O'Sullivan and Jared Wallace are listed among the reserves for Wayne Bennett's table-topping outfit. Dolphins on top. And the Tigers, Jaden Sullivan returns to the starting side 5-8 with Lachie Galvin banned for two games for a hip-drop tackle. Latufainu joins the bench for his NRL debut, while Alex Twalls' return from concussion sees Kapoa drop to the reserves.
Latufainu, good player. Mm-hmm. Real good player. Played in New South Wales under-19s last year. Brought to the club. He was with Manly. His brother, Sam Weller, is the prop on the team as well. Might see a late change where he starts. Don't know, but we'll see. The loss of Lockie Galvin, I think, is a decent one. I did not like what I saw out of Jaden Sullivan in the first round of the competition, round two of the competition. But Aiden Caesar was really good. Api Korosau, I think he's the best attacking hooker in the game.
Mm.
I'm going to tip Tigers.
Nice. I back it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dolphins were good against Titans, but not amazing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they got pumped by the Cowboys and had a bye. And they lost. They beat the Dragons, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Cowboys-Titans, Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. The Cowboys have an unchanged 17. Jake Granville plays 200th, and Kyle Felt is closing in on becoming North Queensland's all-time top try scorer. Tom Chester is again listed as 18th man. For the Titans, new faces on the wings with Jojo Fifita and off-season recruit Harley Smith-Shields coming in to replace Philip Sami, who is out with an ankle. Khan Pereira has not been named. David Fifita is set to come off the bench after managing 55 minutes last week. And Isaac Liu is still out with concussion protocol, so Jolliffe moves to prop. Aaron Clark starts at lock, and Pahulu called in to debut in the absence of Ken Palacio.
I can't believe that Dez hasn't made a change in the halves yet. Brought Brimson into the ball game more. Cowboys for me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this game is going to be interesting. And I don't think it'll be in a good way.
It's going to be interesting if the Titans win.
Yeah, well, then it gets very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sunday night, I think this is the last of the Sunday night games.
Hope so.
Daylight savings. No, it's not.
Huh.
A couple more weeks. With daylight savings wrapping up. So Raiders hosting the Eels. So Ricky has made one change with Mariota coming into the starting side for Zach Hosking. And Sasangi comes in onto the bench for his first game in Raiders colours. Elliot Whitehead remains sidelined with a calf injury. For Parramatta, Bailey Simonson's been recalled in the centres and Harper makes way, while Bryce Cartwright remains sidelined. Greig is back in the 17 for his first NRL game of 2024 after three games in New South Wales Cup, and Brendan Hand has been relegated to the reserves. Dylan Brown needs to step up, hey, Mike?
Yeah, a lot of the playmaking fell onto Gutherson last week, and Gutho's great, but like he just didn't get enough help from both his 6 and 7 in Talangi and Brown.
Yeah. In fairness to Talangi, it was his second game.
Yeah, second game, first half. Yeah. First and half. So, look, tough game for him. I think he'll get better. Ricky's press conference was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, but one of the reporters was trying to compliment Matt Tomoko for having a good game, and Ricky basically said, "No one had a good game. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
Just an all-time vintage Ricky Stewart press conference.
Yeah.
Amazing. They'll want to bounce back after going up 18-0 and then losing 36-22, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm.
Funky draw again. So Canberra,
tough one.
Canberra play Para this week, and then they play the Gold Coast at home again, and then Brisbane, and then the Sharks again, and then Manly.
Mm. So... yeah, this one's a tough one as well. No, like if Moses was playing, I would tip the Eels in a heartbeat. Sunday night in Canberra.
It's going to be cold.
Will it?
Yep.
Canberra.
Okay, so Michael's tips for round 5. He's gone Melbourne over Brisbane, the Roosters over Canterbury, Newcastle over St. George, the Warriors to beat Souths, Penrith to beat Manly, the Tigers to beat the Dolphins at Suncorp,
yep.
The Cowboys to beat the Titans and Canberra to win against the Eels.
A lot of tough games this weekend to tip. About four or five there that I'm not confident in.
No easy games anymore. Sharks have the bye.
No, anyone who versus Penrith is an easy game. For Penrith.
Yeah. There is an element to how many times does so-and-so play Penrith that comes up when I'm looking at the draw now. Because I feel like that's two certain losses for certain teams. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
We will leave it there.
That's it.
As always, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. And one more thing, Emmanuel, how good is rugby league?
How good is rugby league?
Thanks, guys.